He stalked me across two different countries, so this is going to be pretty long. Several years ago, I was using a dating app. It was all fun and games. Sometimes I met some people for hookups, sometimes I didn't. Most of the time, I didn't even reply to those who only sent me certain types of pictures unsolicited. One day, this guy shot me a message on there. He was, and is, 4 years younger than me, meaning that he was 18 at the time, and I was 22. I really didn't consider him my type, but at the same time, I also didn't think it would hurt to get to know him. I mean, looks are just looks, and there have been plenty of times where I fell for a guy not for looks, but for personality. So maybe that could have been the case too. I just came out of a pretty toxic relationship that involves lots of cheating and trust issues and insecurities, so I wasn't really looking for a new relationship. But it did feel good to get some positive attention from guys. We started texting back and forth, nothing out of the ordinary, but I realised pretty soon that part of his personality he let me experience considered of not a lot more than I'm in the mood, less fuck. And look, I'm not slut-shaming, because I wasn't opposed to it. As I said, I just had a nasty breakup and was looking for some fun. So I said yes, and we exchanged numbers, agreed on a date, time and place, and then we went back to our normal lives, for now. I had a lot going on at the time. It was only a few months until I moved to a different place, so I already started planning for all of that. And not just that, but a friend of mine invited me to come on a trip with him to Amsterdam, which obviously had to be prepared as well, since that trip was scheduled 2 weeks before I was supposed to move. Therefore, it comes to no one's surprise that I kind of forgot about the guy. Until one day we were supposed to meet up. He texted me a few hours before if I was still clear. After I scolded myself for forgetting, I told him that we were meeting as planned, even though that would throw my schedule off for a little. So I got ready for the day, and I kid you not, not even an hour before we were supposed to meet, he cancelled. It happens that you can't always make it, so we scheduled another day, which he proceeded to cancel as well. Cancellation after cancellation, week after week, several different dates. Each time it allegedly was a sick relative or pet, so clearly I took that as he really didn't want to meet me. Which would be fine, I'm not everyone's type either, but he could have at least had the decency not to leave me on then. So I told him off about his crappy behaviour and I blocked him. Maybe this was a little overreaction, but I just didn't want to waste my time with a guy that seemingly always found excuses to meet me, when I could focus on the moving process, the vacation process, or another guy who was actually interested. But then, he messages me on a dating app. How dare I block him? He wanted to meet me, but I was just an unappreciative bitch. Obviously, after that, I blocked him on the app as well. I thought that I had heard the last of him, so I went on with my days. I already started forgetting him after a few weeks, and then another account messaged me, fake pictures and all. But it didn't take long for me to figure out it was him. He basically admitted to it in the first place, so another block followed. Another account, another block, day after day. I thought, what is even going on? He didn't want to meet me first, and now he creates new accounts on the daily to contact me. What the hell? So I just had enough, and wanted to tell him off again. When he started to apologise for his behaviour, that he was in the wrong, and that he was willing to meet me if I was willing to meet him still. Trust me, I really wanted to blow him off, but in my mind, if I just met him and just be really bad at sex or something, he'd never contact me again. Stupid, but hey, it was worth a try. So we scheduled a meeting a few days before I was supposed to leave for the trip to Amsterdam, which I stupidly told him about. And since I didn't have a car, he offered to come to my place. Now, I would never ever give a stranger from the internet my address, but back then, I did. I mean, he couldn't possibly be a creep, right? So we met, he came into my house, we sat down on my bed, exchanged basic pleasantries, and then stopped talking altogether. He didn't even look at me. Just to be safe, I wasn't a catfish. I looked exactly like I did in the pictures I had on the app. Only when I asked him something, he would reply with very few words. Until I asked him directly if we'd hook up or not, he then suddenly started kissing me, and well, I don't have to go into detail. So when he finished, he just sat next to me, staring at the wall, not saying a word. At that point, I was pretty annoyed, I mean, I get being shy and all, but if it's that intense, how could you muster up the courage to go on a hookup? Anyway, after I went to the bathroom to freshen up, I told him my roommate would be back soon, so he jumped up, said goodbye, and left. I got no other messages from him after. Flash forward to my trip to Amsterdam. My friend, let's call him Joe, and I had lots of fun roaming through the streets of Amsterdam day and night. Relax in our pretty fancy hotel and do the usual stuff tourists do. One day, we were just walking down a very busy road, very close to the main train station, when suddenly I heard a car honk loudly next to us. The traffic light was on red, so the person wasn't driving. I thought nothing of it and didn't even look until the guy started calling my name. The voice was very familiar, and the face I belonged to was still in my memory. It was the hookup. When I looked, he smiled widely and called out for me to come over. But when he saw Joe, who at that point asked me who that was, the smile faded. I was dumbstruck, so I didn't say anything, but that wasn't necessary. The traffic light just turned green. People started getting agitated at the hookup that wouldn't go immediately, so finally he focused on the road again and drove off. That was a hell of a coincidence, right? That he would be in Amsterdam at the same time. But why wouldn't he say so when I told him my plans? If he didn't want me to know, why would he call out to me in the middle of a busy road? I didn't allow my mind to think about him intentionally going there to find me. That was impossible. He wasn't interested in me anyway, right? Back at home, my phone started to blow up. Calls, angry texts, new profiles. Didn't matter that I told him to stop. Didn't matter that I threatened to block him again. He told me that I was a slut for going out with another guy, despite being in a relationship with him. That I was just like everyone else. That he deserved better than me. And then he said he'd just been coming to Amsterdam for me. To surprise me. When I tell you I changed my number and deleted the dating app quicker than I possibly could have dreamt of, I mean I sprinted into my car and drove to the closest shop and got a new number. Not long after, I moved into the new place. I had two new roommates that were both in the same college courses I was in. We got along fine, and the house was pretty big. One of my roommates inherited it from her mum. The moving went smoothly. I didn't get another text, I didn't get any messages on my social media, and he didn't show up at my old place. Eventually, a few months later, I basically forgot again. For more context, the house was in a village, not even a small town, but a village. There were no shops, no nothing. Shopping would have to do in the next town that was approximately 4 miles away. My room was on the ground floor. The window of that room was right next to the entrance door where you were looking at the house from the outside. And right beside my room outside was a carport. The ground was covered in gravel, and once anyone moved, the light of the carport would turn on. It was a pretty hot summer, so sometimes I slept with my window open. I wasn't that afraid, because once again, it was a small village. Barely anyone would drive through here. So one night, I was just sleeping, even though my back was turned towards a window, and then I started to hear someone walking on the gravel towards my window. Immediately, I turned around, of course, and saw a guy walking past my window, though he didn't look inside. He walked to the mailbox and seemed to throw something inside, and then left again. I was stunned for a few seconds, but at least it wasn't a murderer, I thought. So, as soon as I could move, I closed the window, and I kept it closed each night from that point onward. And this actually happened a few nights, that someone walked to our mailbox in the middle of the night, but nothing was ever inside, at least that I knew of. It was weird, but maybe it was one of my roommates that were receiving something personal that they didn't want to share. Cut to a few nights later, I was minding my own business when I suddenly heard some gravel again. My roommate had just gone to bed about half an hour ago, and I didn't hear anyone leave, so I thought it was just the mailbox guy. But this time, he didn't walk to the mailbox. He just walked to the carport. I know that because the light turned on. Immediately, I text my roommate about a guy in our carport. One of my roommates, Sarah, who had a room across the hallway from mine, while Mary, the other roommate, had hers upstairs, texts back into the group chat that we'd meet up with weapons at the bottom of the stairs to investigate. I grabbed a scissor I had in my room and went to our meeting point. Turns out my weapons were the most useful, since Mary came downstairs with a ukulele, and Sarah thought an empty plastic bottle would suffice. After laughing at the absurdity of our weapons of choice, We started getting back in serious mode, going to the side door that led to the carport. Sarah looked through the window of said door, but didn't see anyone. The light was turned off too. Just in that moment, we heard someone tampering with our mailbox again. I'm not gonna lie, I probably peed my pants a little bit. Immediately, we ran to the front door, opened it and looked outside, but there was no one. At least no one that I could see. After we looked in the mailbox, which was empty of course, we went back inside. Not even 2 minutes later, I got a text from an unknown number saying how cute I looked in my nightgown, that no makeup even made me look prettier. He hoped that I'd come down alone so we could have some fun together like before I moved, but he was sad to find two other people with me. Needless to say, none of us slept that night. The police were called immediately and did a sweep, but no one was found on the property. He didn't exactly say it, but I know it was that guy, so I filed a report the next day. Nothing really happened with it, but since nothing else happened like that, I thought he got the message when we called the police. Sometimes I still get messages from an unknown number, but they're pretty harmless and don't really bother any further when I ignore them. But the fear in the back of my mind that one day he could be back stays, of course. In the meantime, I took up self-defense classes. So, dear stalker, we better never meet again. It's a story that happened to me at the beginning of the year. It's in France, so I apologise for my English. A few years ago, I was dating a great man, for whom I had a lot of respect. He's a good person. He's kind of the perfect man for me. Noah. We broke up because I had to begin my training as a magistrate. It was a peaceful breakup. We have a lot of affection for each other. We're still very good friends. Our families are friends too. It's kind of funny because he lives where my parents live. For my part, I live in the same neighbourhood as Noah's parents. It's a friendly and caring relationship that we have now. Because of COVID-19, I can't go to see my parents for Christmas and New Year. I spend the holidays with Noah's parents. 2 weeks later in January, I leave my house to go to work. Someone wrote insults on my door. My car is scratched. My blood's freezing. I'm pretty shocked. You should know that the magistrates in France are protected. Fines and prison sentences are even harsher when an offence is committed against them. I'm afraid it's due to a case that I'm working on. I deal mainly with land stories, buildings, and damn it, there are people who are crazy sometimes. It is not a reasonable fear because I work in cases without dangerous people. I had to contact cops, inform the court, etc. These kinds of stories are not taken lightly. The police quickly find out that the person behind it is a certain Elsa. At the time in France, anyone leaving their home after 7 p.m. without permission was fined €135. The day before, someone had been caught 2 kilometres away and fined. The police asked me if I knew who the person was. She's a lady in her mid-60s. Her face is unknown to me. I'm not withdrawing my complaint. A week later, I get a call from Noah, who warns me that he's visiting his parents with his girlfriend, whom he's been dating for a year. We're both friends on social media, and she's a normal person. At that time in France, to move between different regions, you had to have a good motive. I didn't ask him about it. I told myself he just wanted to see his parents, and he found an excuse to come. I come home from work at night, and it does not miss. I surprised a crazy old lady of the photo near the entrance of my building. She was clearly drunk before I got there. I'm on the defensive, ready to fight if it's unpleasant. She called me a whore, that I was too involved in this guy's life, that I was trying to separate them. In short, that I was the other woman in her daughter's couple. I don't ask her any questions, and I let her talk, stunned. Furious, I called the policeman, who tried to calm the lady. I went out to my house with a few men because my presence made her angry. Later, I learned that she went to a van, but they didn't let her drive because she's drunk. It was only a few days later that I learned the truth. Noah visits me on the weekends with his girlfriend. She told me that they came for her mother, who was declared demented. Apparently, she almost assaulted someone. The police found a shotgun in the back of her car. A little panicked, I asked her if the mother's name was Elsa. The police and doctors thought she was just crazy, and that she just wanted to attack me for no reason. But Noah's girlfriend explained that it was because I had spent Christmas with her boyfriend's parents, when she couldn't do it. Her mother had taken the news very badly, and she was afraid that her daughter would lose her boyfriend. I'd rather laugh about it than cry. The mother is on treatment. I withdrew my complaint. I think about this story now because I learned that Noah and his girlfriend are expecting a baby. What a funny story. I posted this in Missing 411, and in my planning of my upcoming camping trips, felt the urge to post it here. Mostly a copy and paste with an update on one of the family members. This may be a ramble of thoughts, but after recently stumbling across this sub, I finally felt a place I could offer something that my family and I experienced a few years ago, that to this day gives me a shiver. I've been camping, solo backpacking and hunting my whole life in Oregon, and felt comfortable in the woods and have a deep respect for nature. A few years ago, my wife, daughter and two German shepherds went camping in North Mount Jefferson, Oregon. I have included the coordinates of our campsite, which we found to be the perfect setup for us and our dogs, who needed the privacy since they're intimidating to the other dog owners and they can be loud when spooked. It was not an established campsite, just a nice horseshoe off the USFS road that had flat ground full of trees and a fire pit. The first night, my daughter wanted to sleep by herself in a two-man tent right next to ours. It was maybe 2 feet away from me and my wife's tent. We made the male German Shepherd sleep, Guts is his name, with her in the tent. That whole first night, neither my wife or I could sleep. We both heard footsteps, and they were heavy, not like typical forest critters scampering around the night. I was well armed because I was paranoid from reading recently before departing about a dad in California who was shot and killed in a tent next to his two infant daughters. Needless to say, both my wife and I had two pistols and a rifle with me. The dogs are great at detection, and that's why I felt my daughter could sleep alone, because Guts is completely fearless, and nothing would lay a hand on her without having to battle to the death. All in all, nothing but bad vibes and loud footsteps occurred that night, which I ultimately decided was a deer or maybe some elk. Day 2, morning. We go for a walk down the road, and maybe 300 feet away, see a circle area in the photo. I see an abandoned road where a rusted gate was missing, was covered in vegetation. Something blue of colour caught my eye, and Guts immediately takes off running down the abandoned road. My heart begins to race, because I think it's another family camping like us, and he's going to get himself shot, or scare some innocent people to death. So I chase after him as fast as I can, and the rest follow. He stops after 20 feet into the road, and me yelling his name, but I have covered just enough distance to see that no one's there, and something is off about the sight. I yell, "Hello, is anyone there? Sorry about the dog." But I get no response. My curiosity gets the best of me, and I have to see what the sight conditions are. As I get closer, I know something's wrong. It has all the necessities for a campsite, including a cooler, propane burner, tent, blankets, folding table, but every single item has been completely destroyed, smashed and torn from what appear to be claw marks. We all walk around in circles puzzled why anyone would leave their camping gear behind, including an expensive REI tent. I figured, well, someone left in a hurry and animals got to the rest is the only logical explanation. Still, a propane tank and cooler were flattened by something, and it certainly wasn't snowpack with tree coverage in that spot. As the afternoon rolls in, me and my daughter are playing broke ball at the campsite, and my wife goes walking maybe 70 feet north to do her business. I do not have any direct line of sight on her, but all of a sudden, I see Guts make a mad dash straight towards her. Normally, he would be with me, unless he's called over and she didn't call for him. His speed and focus caught my attention, and I knew something weird was happening. So I run over there, and my wife starts jogging at me, and I immediately drew my pistol. Guts had completely continued running into the forest another 100 feet before I call him and he stopped. My other dog, Leah, who never misses the opportunity to be the pack leader, is not taking point. I've had her for 7 years now, and this was the first time in her life she refused to leave my daughter's side. She was full hair raised and attached to us at the hip. Again, any time we hike or play, Leah is up front bossing everything in her path and pauses to see where we are and continues. I asked my wife what happened and she said, "I was trying to pee and all of a sudden I felt all my hairs raise. I know someone was watching me and then Gut starts running towards me and I just got up to move towards you." We spent 10 minutes looking for signs of anything and saw no trails, broken branches, nothing to point to what and where something went. We decided we're spending one more night since it's too late to pack up and drive, but we'll all be in the tent together. Before we go to bed, I put a rope with a makeshift coin alarm around the perimeter of our campsite. I used a mint can and some coins and keys from our truck and zip tied it so anything hitting the rope would give it a little jingle. Very unsophisticated, but it put my wife at ease. As I go to tie the last corner off the tree near our tent, our third mystery item unveils itself. It looks like someone has done the exact same thing I have done with the rope that was so old and brown that I didn't see it at first. It was broken and only a few pieces remained, but sure enough, it was tied at roughly the same height, 8 to 10 inches off the ground, and even had a few rusted washes on it. I immediately thought someone had stayed here before and put the same makeshift warning system on the same tree as I am, maybe 10 to 15 years ago, based on the type of condition of the rope. Perhaps my paranoia had now just reached a new height, but I had to make sure the girls felt we were safe. And at the time, the only thing I could think of when the evening came around, I made them sit in the truck and I fired my clip of 45s into the dirt as a signal to whatever was out there that we were armed. I reassured the girls that anyone listening to that now knows that we have two wolves and are armed, and we are too risky of a target so we can sleep safely. That night, we heard no footsteps, and the dogs never perked up and barked. We left early the next morning. Fast forward to today, and I watched the Amazon Missing 411 documentary, and I noticed the cluster smack dab close to where we camped that weekend, and a flood of dread washes over me as I think of that mysterious abandoned campsite with the ripped tent and smashed cooler and cooktop. We've been camping since, and have enjoyed the view of NW. But there was something there, at that place, that possibly took or harmed someone else less than 300 feet away from where we camped, and we all thank our lucky stars Guts was doing his thing so well that afternoon. Update from the original posting. Guts is no longer with us. He had journeyed into the next phase, and there isn't a day that goes by that I don't think about him and how he saved us. He's a warrior, and his new brother Geronimo has his spirit. I want to say a big thank you to Rep143 for allowing me to narrate his story. I really appreciate it.